Okay, so this past week's parsha, it was Parsha's Re'eh, and it was Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Elul. So Shabbos Mevorachim Chodesh Elul is a time that used to strike a very sensitive chord in the hearts of Yirei Hashem. It's a reminder that the Yomim Noiroim are quickly approaching. And that we have to rectify ourselves to be able to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam on the Yom HaDin. So when I was going over the Sedra, I couldn't help but notice three psukim that are very, very similar to each other. And it must be that these three psukim carry with them a very important message. The first pasuk is found let's see where it is. In Kapitel Yudbeis, Pasuk Chav Beis, the Pasuk says, Ach kasher ye ochel es atzvi ves ha'yol kein toichlenu. Just like you would eat the deer and the heart, so shall you eat this. The impure and the pure can eat it together. I'll soon explain what the context is. That's one pasuk. Then later on, we have this pasuk, very almost the same words again. One second. Actually, I think I might have skipped one before. I skipped one before that. Kapitel Yudbeis, Pasuk Tezvav. The Pasuk says, Rak b'chol avas nafshecha tizbach v'yachalta basar. Only with all the desire of your soul shall you slaughter and eat meat. Kibirkas Hashem alekecha asher nasan lecha b'chol sharecha. As the blessing of Hashem your God that He gave you in all of your cities. Hatomei v'hator yoichlenu. The impure and the pure shall eat it, katzvi v'cho ayol, like the deer and the heart. So those are two psukim there, and then another one is towards the end of the parasha. Where the pasuk talks about b'chor. And the pasuk there says, you shall eat it in your cities. Hatomei v'hatora yachdov, the impure and the pure together, katzvi v'chayol, like the deer and the heart. So we have three pesukim in this week's parasha that are talking about certain types of meat, and we'll soon see what that means. But all three pesukim use the same terminology. The pure and the impure can eat it together, like a deer and a hart, like katzvi v'cho'ayol. I mean, first of all, the whole comparison, katzvi v'cho'ayol, needs understanding. Once the pasuk tells us that the tameh and the Torah can eat it together, so we know that the tameh and the Torah can eat it together. Why do we need a comparison to the tzvi and the ayol? Now, the context of these pesukim is the first pasuk is talking about a case where an animal was hegdish and was fit to be brought on the mizbeach, and then a blemish occurred to it. It happened that the animal now has a blemish, so it cannot be brought on the mizbeach. In which case, the halacha is that it should be redeemed. Someone should pay its value to the Beis HaMikdash, and then the animal now is. And the Torah tells us that the animal now can be eaten in your cities, meaning you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. And a pure and impure person, the pure and the impure can eat it together as if they were eating a deer or a hart, which are two animals that can never be brought on the Mizbeach. So those are two animals that a Tameh and a Tahor can eat. So this animal that was redeemed from Hegdish, the Torah tells us, can be eaten by the Tameh and the Tahor, Katzvi v'chayol, as if it would be a Tzvi or an Ayol. That's the context of the first pasuk. The second pasuk is talking about the Bnei Yisrael, as long as they were in the Midbar, and they had the Mishkan in their midst, so as long as that was the case, they were not allowed to eat meat of any type of animal that was fit to be brought as a korban. The only way they were allowed to eat the meat of that type of animal was if they brought it as a korban. If they brought a korban, if they wanted to eat meat, they would have to bring a korban shlamim, and then they would be able to eat the meat of the shlamim. They weren't allowed to slaughter the animal on their own and eat the meat. That was as long as they were in the Midbar with the Mishkan in their midst. However, says the Pasuk, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be so close, it's going to be far away, says the Torah, you can slaughter your own meat whenever you want, and you can eat it. HaTomei v'HaTorah Yachdov, the pure and the impure can eat that meat together, katzvi v'chayol, as if it would be a deer or a hart, which again are two animals that never have to be brought on the Mizbeach. So now that you're in Eretz Yisrael and you're far away from the Beis HaMikdash, you can slaughter whatever animal you want, whatever kosher animal you want, and a tameh and a tor can eat it together like a tzvi, as if it would be a tzvi or an ayol. That's the context of the second pasuk. The context of the third pasuk is talking about a bechor. Usually a bechor behema is kadosh and has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. However, says the pasuk, if a bechor develops a blemish, so then the bechor belongs to the kohen. It doesn't have to be brought on the mizbeach. It belongs to the kohen, and a tameh and a tor kohen can eat it katzvi v'chayol. Whether it's pure or impure, you can eat it as if it would be a deer or a hart. So, as I mentioned before, the fact that the Torah finds it necessary to compare it to a tzvi and an ayol, and all three times to specify the tama and the Torah can eat it together, katzvi v'chayol, indicates to me that the Torah is telling us something more. And I'd like to suggest an approach, al derech avodas Hashem, to understand what the Torah HaKadosh is telling us. So I think we can understand this based on the relationship between a husband and wife. In every marriage, in every husband and wife relationship, there are three very important ingredients in order that facilitate a marriage to work out. Number one is that every marriage has to have, there has to be a goal. There has to be something that both spouses understand that this is the goal of this home that they are building. That there are certain standards, and this goal and these standards become the expectation that one spouse has of the other. And if one of the spouses don't live up to the expectations, so obviously that's going to cause friction in the marriage, because this is not the one of the spouses is deviating from the original goal, the original standards that was set out at the beginning of the marriage. That's number one. Number two is that each spouse needs to see to it that the other spouse is their priority. Until a person gets married, all the person cares about is themselves. We're human beings, and by nature, we care about ourselves more than anything else. However, when a person gets married, the commitment of marriage is to make the spouse their first priority. It's no longer about me, it's about the spouse. Oneself becomes secondary. And if that is not the case, it's usually a recipe for disaster. If each one of the spouses is looking out for themselves, usually that marriage is a very shaky marriage. So the rule number two is priorities. To see to it that the other spouse is the first priority. Number three is that the number three ingredient in a marriage is that both spouses need to know that it's not what you do for each other, it's how you do it. And if one can bring home a dozen roses and present it with a warm and fuzzy card, and that will mean more to the spouse than bringing home a diamond bracelet and throwing it on the bed. It all depends on the love and the emotion that comes along with what one does that really makes the difference. So these are three rules that apply in every marriage, and it is an ingredient to a happy and lasting marriage. And lack thereof is usually a recipe for disaster. Now, these three same rules, I believe we can learn from our physical relationships. We can learn from this to our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, which we are also, as the Torah HaKadosh compares us numerous times, to a Chosen Kala. So, there are the goals that the Ribbono Shel Olam has set for us in this relationship. And the goal is our potential. The Ribbono Shel Olam knows our potential. And in order for us to make our relationship work, the Ribbono Shel Olam expects us to live up to our potential. That becomes the expectation that our spouse has of us. And when we don't live up to that, there's disappointment. And comes Chodesh Elul, which is a time to focus and to reflect and to examine and analyze our actions. If each and every one of us would truthfully evaluate our situation, we would find that we have fallen very short of the Ribbono Shel Olam's expectations. We have fallen very short of the expectations of our chosn. And no matter if one is a tameh and a person has actually sinned, or even if one is a tahar and one has not specifically done anything against Hashem's will, nevertheless, there's always room for growth. There's always room to grow into that potential and to grow towards that goal that we haven't done. And so anyone who truthfully evaluates their situation will find that they have fallen short of the Ribbono Shel Olam's expectations. The second thing is priorities. And as we mentioned, although we are human beings, and human beings by nature are their own first priority, we have a spouse, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in order for us to be able to appreciate this relationship, we have to make the Ribbono Shel Olam our first priority. And if one would seriously evaluate every nisoyan that one has, every nisoyan boils down to who comes first, me or the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we would place the Ribbono Shel Olam first, there would be no nisayon. It would be obvious to us what we need to do. The problem is that we get in the way. Our ego and ourselves always come first. So here is yet another area that comes Chodesh Elul. We need to evaluate, what does our ani ledoidi vedoidi li look like? Ani ledoidi vedoidi li means my focus is totally on my beloved, and my beloved's focus will be on me. He's my first priority, and if he's my first priority, then I'll be his first priority. But if we truly focus and reflect and analyze our actions of the past, we would realize that we have fallen short. And we have not made the Ribbono Shel Olam our first priority. And whether we're a tameh or a tahar, whether we have actually sinned, or even if we haven't sinned, nevertheless, we haven't made the Ribbono Shel Olam our first priority the way we should have it. Our avodah would look so much nicer if we had made him our first priority all the time. And then that third ingredient, which was, it's not what we do, but how we do it, is very relevant in avodas Hashem as well. Because even if a person performs mitzvahs, a person learns Torah and a person davens, a person gives tzedakah, Are we doing it? Are we investing our emotion? Are we investing our love and awe and full respect the way we should? Is our tefillah infused with enthusiasm? Are we giving tzedakah with a smile? When we're giving these gifts to our spouse, or when we're giving this to the Rebbeinu Shlalom, are we giving it with love? When it comes to a relationship, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. And if we would truly analyze Kam Chodesh El, we'd truly analyze our mitzvahs. We truly analyze our Torah, our Avodah, our Gemilas Chasadim. We would find that in this area of how we do it, we will find that we have fallen short. Hatameh v'hatar, whether we have actually sinned or we haven't sinned, even if we've just been doing the mitzvahs, learning Torah, the spice is missing. So I'd like to suggest that the aspect of growth is represented by the tzvi, by the deer. Chazal say that Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz HaTzvi. There's a pasuk in Daniel that calls Eretz Yisrael Eretz HaTzvi. And Chazal explained, because the nature of the hide of the deer is that when the deer is alive, the hide expands, and when the deer is dead, its hide shrinks. So also Eretz Yisrael, when the Yidden are in their land, the land expands, and when we are not there, in the time of the Churban, the land shrinks. And I believe that this is a metaphor for our Avodas Hashem as well. The sign that a person is alive is if the person is growing. That is a sign that the person's Avodah is alive, and that the person is spiritually alive. If the person is not growing, then the person is shrinking. It's a siman that the person is spiritually dead. So this concept of growth in Yiddishkeit is represented by the tzvi. The ayal, which is the heart, represents someone who has fallen short, someone who has sinned and longs to return. But the pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ka'ayol taroy galafike mayim," like the heart longs for brooks of waters. "Kenafshi saroy galecha lekim," so also does my soul long for you, Hashem. It represents someone who is distant, someone who has been distanced from Hashem, and longs to return. So now we can understand the message of these three pesukim. The first pasuk, or one of the pesukim, is talking about when a person ki yirchak mimcha hamokay mashe yivchar Hashem, when the place that Hashem has chosen is distant from you, meaning that the Rebbeinu Shlalom has chosen for each and every one of us a place where He wants to see us, our potential. That's the makam asher yivchar Hashem, which each and every one of us has a different makam. A different makam asher yivchar Hashem. And comes Chodesh El, and we find ourselves ki yirchak mimcha hamakam asher yivchar Hashem. We find ourselves that we are distant from this place that Hashem has chosen for us. Says the pasuk, Hatomei v'hator yoichlenu katzvi v'chayol. Both the Tomei and the Torah can relate to this. whether one has sinned or one has not sinned, but one has still has room for growth, and everyone has room for growth. Everyone can relate to this. Everyone can relate to this distance. The Tahar will relate to it. Katsvi, he'll relate to it like the deer that always needs to grow, is always growing. And the Tame will relate to this like the Ayol, with longing to return, longing to reconnect. The second pasuk is talking about when one finds a mum in their bechor. The bechor is the firstborn, which represents our priorities. And comes Chodesh Elul, and we analyze our actions. We realize that there's a mum in our bechor. There's a blemish in our priorities. Our priorities are not the way they should be. Says the pasuk, "Hatame v'hatora yochlenu katzvi v'chayol." Both the tame and the tar, the one who has sinned, and even the one that is tar, one has not actually sinned. Everyone can relate to this. Katzvi v'chayol, the tar will relate to this like the tzvi, because there's always room to grow, and the tame will relate to this like the ayol, with longing to make the Rabbeinu Shleim our first priority, longing to reconnect. And finally, the third pasuk is talking about, which is actually the first pasuk, is talking about someone who finds a mum in their kodshin. Somebody who finds a blemish in their holiness, in the Torah and mitzvahs that we perform, in the avodah, in the gemilas chasadim, if we feel them out, if we analyze them, we will realize that there's a mum in our kodshim. There's a blemish, because it's not what we do, it's how we do it. And here also the pasuk says, Kasha Yeochlas Atzvives Ayol Kainto Echleni Atomai Vahatora Yachtav Yechlenu. That here also, both the Tomei and the Torah can relate to this. If somebody truthfully analyzes their Torah and mitzvahs, they will find that they have fallen short, whether they are a Tomei or a Torah, whether they have sinned or they haven't sinned. The one who has not sinned, the Torah, will relate to this like the Tzvi. There's always room for growth. Always room for more Ahava. Always room for more Yira. One can always infuse their Torah and mitzvahs and Gemilas Chasadim with more quality. And definitely the Tomei will relate to this like the Ayol, with longing. Longing to do things right. Longing to be able to perform a mitzvah with excitement and enthusiasm. This is the Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li that Chodesh El represents. It's all about the relationship between ourselves and our beloved. We have to see to it that the main ingredients of a relationship are there. And if we do so, if we spend the Chodesh El reflecting and correcting and refining and making it even better and better, we'll be zeicha to aksiva v'chsiva toive and agit kemen shtiurim. We'll be zeicha to the time of kimsois chasam al-kala yosis alayach elikayach v'vias mashiach tzidkeinu b'meir v'yameinu amen. Hold on one second, I'll share with you another verse.